Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Greetings and welcome to Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I am Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
Thank you for joining us tonight. We are beginning our journey to Season 3, which starts in March of 2017. So all of our episodes from this point on will be geared toward getting us there and starting a new chapter in this exciting adventure that is the Voice of Olympus. We have a wonderful show tonight. The first part will be Olympian Path, where we will explore the writings of Chris Aldridge of the Temple of the Greek Gods. And the second part of the show will be a Mount Olympus intrafaith dialogue, which we started in Season 2 and which will continue well into Season 3. So without further ado, greetings, Chris Aldridge. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So, Chris, we've already explored a little bit about your unique spiritual journey and about the Temple of the Greek Gods in earlier episodes. Can you give us a summary of the Temple of the Greek Gods?
Once again, the Temple of the Greek Gods is a place for everyone who loves and worships the Greek gods and spirits and heroes, regardless of how they may worship them. We're not a temple of strictly Reconstructionists. We're not a temple of strictly Neo-Pagans or strictly any kind of ancient Greek path. We're open to everybody. So we have Reconstructionists like myself, and we have Neo-Pagans. We have people who are somewhere in between. We have Henotheists. We have a little bit of everybody.
And that is fantastic and very much in the spirit of interfaith, which is how we approach religion as well. And what differentiates the Temple of Greek Gods from other organizational efforts is that you actually have a temple and services in your home. Is that correct?
Basically, yes. It's out of our home, yeah.
Now, Chris, you categorize yourself as an author on Facebook and in other places, and you have indeed written several books, and three that I know of are dedicated to the Hellenic path. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay,
well,
let's start Go ahead.
I like to refer to myself as a writer and not specifically an author because an author is someone who writes books specifically, but I also write short stories and articles and things like that. So I just refer to myself simply as a writer.
Understood. Tell us about your first book, the devotional.
Well, my first book in the category that we're discussing was called New Prayers of Old Hellas. That wasn't the first title. I honestly don't remember the original title, but anyway, since I became Hellenic in around 2009, I had started writing prayers ever since then, and around 2014, I had accumulated so many that I decided to write them into a published book, a published prayer book, and it's called New Prayers of Old Hellas. It's my first prayer book that I ever wrote. I think there's about 100 prayers in there.
Wow.
And my second book that I wrote was on the hero Theseus, and the reason that I wrote a book about him was because he's one of the ancient Greek heroes that I most admire, the other being Bellerophon, as far as male heroes go. And the reason I wrote a book about him was because, number one, there wasn't a lot of hero worship, a lot of hero prayer that I saw going on in the modern Hellenic community. As a matter of fact, some Hellenists even said that it, you know, pretty much had no place, which I strongly disagreed with. And also, I didn't like the way every historian and every mythologist I had read portrayed Theseus in some ways. I thought that a lot of the accusations of immorality that were put against him had a lot of loopholes, had a lot of holes in the logic, and could very easily be picked apart. And so I went through the book and I told the story of Theseus from ancient and modern writers, and at the end I also basically act as his defense against the allegations that were put against him, and I end with a prayer to call on Theseus. And so I really enjoyed writing the book because I looked at it as me, even in a very small measure, in a very humble measure, contributing another piece of ancient Greek literature to the modern world. And then the third book that I wrote is called Light of Olympus, Ancient Greek Rites and Prayers for Everyday Life. And the reason that I wrote that book, it actually started out as a prayer page on Facebook that I had for quite a while. I started a public prayer page on Facebook in late 2015, I think. And every day or every other day at least, I would post prayers for the public to specific gods, spirits, and heroes. And I did that probably for, I think, about at least half a year or something like that, quite a long time. I think I might have done it for a year, actually. I'm not sure, but quite a long time. And when I basically ran out of ideas, I took all the prayers, I closed the page, and I published them into a prayer book. And I also added my own outline for daily rites that can be combined with the prayers that Greek practitioners can do every single day of the week. And
wow.
That is my latest book.
That is incredibly awesome. Do you have your books before you?
I have Light of Olympus before me.
Okay, because I'd like to
Theseus.
Sample that. Do you have any prayers to heroes in the book?
I do. Yes, actually. I have prayers to... Let me look at the table of contents. I have prayers to Achilles, Atalante, Antigone, Bellerophon, Cadmus, Danae, Deucalion, Heracles, Jason, Odysseus, Oedipus, Orpheus, Perseus, and Theseus.
Incredibly awesome. I'd like to hear the one to Heracles for obvious reasons.
I never would have heard.
Well, I have...
I want to hear to Bellerophon also, because Bellerophon is another one of your heroes as well, so...
Okay, I have two prayers to Heracles. I suppose the first one is my favorite. It goes, Almighty Heracles, great hero, vanquishing monsters, protecting humanity, beneath your great strength, subdue the lurking threats and ill creatures of the world, avert from us the assaults of evil that the goodness of Olympus set us free.
That's beautiful.
And Bellerophon, who's one of my favorite heroes, I have actually... six prayers to him
wow.
in the book. I suppose I'll read...
Read your favorite.
I suppose I'll read this one. On the short, number three is good. O Bellerophon, come from the skies and rescue my home from evil and hostility. Come in your mighty heroism and oust the presence of ill and the beings of aggression. Under your lance, place them harshly and powerless. Then into the bowels of gloomy Tartarus, throw them into that ancient prison, where evil and injustice is condemned to reside, that they may never again bring harm or disorder.
That's also beautiful. Awesome. So, part of your spirituality is composing these prayers, and then you share these prayers with others, and that is very much needed in the Hellenic community.
Yeah, I definitely think so. We've over the centuries, we've lost so much history of ancient Greek religion, that, you know, it can never, ever be replaced. We've lost so much. Athens, I think, gives us the most history, and that's why I think most Hellenists follow the religion of Athens. But, yeah, we've lost so much that I think it's important that we write new things.
And that's a niche that you're very qualified to fill, and you're doing an excellent job with that.
Yeah, it's taken me a while to get it all together. Being a writer is not an easy thing. Sometimes it can be very frustrating, especially when you publish some of your own works like I do, and so you have to proofread yourself, and going through it line by line by line, hour after hour, every single day, about 50 million times to make sure there's no typos and everything. It can be very frustrating, but it's all worth it.
Now, you categorized yourself a little earlier as a Reconstructionist, even though your ministry is open to everybody. You called yourself a Reconstructionist. How exactly are you a Reconstructionist? Because I've met many classes of Reconstructionists over my decades of interacting with Hellenists. So how would you describe your particular type of Reconstructionism?
Well, I suppose it's possible that there's many different kinds of Reconstructionists, because it would kind of be dishonest to say that there was an ancient Greek religion, because there were, in fact, many ancient Greek religions, because every city-state had their own practices, their own calendars, their own myths, their own patron deities and heroes and so on. So there were many ancient Greek religions. But I think that, like I said, I think Athens gives us the most history, and so a lot of Reconstructionists follow Athens because it's the material is readily available. And so, as a Reconstructionist, the way I basically practice is I adopt the ways that the ancient Greeks worshipped the Greek gods. The way I look at it is that, you know, the ancient Greeks knew best how to worship the ancient Greek gods. And so as much as modernly possible, I pull the ancient Greek belief system and practice and way of life into my own practice, and I either practice the way they did, or the practices that I do establish for myself do not contradict the ancient Greek worldview. There is nothing in Reconstructionism that says you can't have your own practices or do your own things religiously. They just think that if you're going to call it Hellenic, then it should either be in line with the ancient Greek worldviews or at least not contradict it. And so that's how I practice.
However, we've discussed this before, you draw the line with things like animal sacrifice and other ancient practices that are no longer acceptable to moderns.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do anything like that simply because I just don't have the desire to go through all the hassle with it. It's all in many ways, it's also not possible to replicate some of the sacrifices that happen, because I don't know of anybody who can buy 100 oxen during Panathenia and sacrifice all of them. So in some ways it's impossible to replicate it. But I mean, if someone wants to do animal sacrifice, I mean, there's no law in the United States that prohibits it. I think there's regulations that have to be followed, but there's no law that prohibits it. I mean, the way I see it, it's no different than hunting. The only difference is, you know, you're putting religion behind the killing of the animal. But I don't think most Hellenists do that, and I certainly don't, because it's just not something, it's just not me, and so I don't do it.
Growing up Greek here in the United States, I know that the tradition of the Paschal Lamb is very important during Easter, and many Greek families, especially those that were newly come to this country, would get a lamb and raise it, and then they would kill it for Easter. And that would always cause problems with local ASPCA and other animal organizations. So that was something that they had to deal with every year. And I imagine, even though there's no laws against it, that people would strongly object to it, and that there would be hassles. Like there's hassles for a lot of people who follow Afro-Caribbean paths, where animals are killed and then eaten, or killed for purification purposes. So that is something that the jury is out on in this country.
Yeah, I mean, and me personally, I'm not, you know, abhorred by it. I mean, like, if I'm a farmer and I raise livestock and I kill the livestock to eat or to sell, you know, that's perfectly fine. But if I, you know, put religious meaning behind it, then everybody loses their mind. So, you know, you see what I'm saying? I don't see how it's really a big deal.
Now, do you get feedback from people who use your hymnals, like individual Hellenists or Hellenic groups? Have they contacted you and informed you that they're using your hymns or how they're using your hymns? And have they given you feedback in that regard?
A few people have. All the feedback I've received has been positive. People tell me that they really like my prayers and my work, and they use it in their practice. One person even told me that, you know, I guess you could consider me a Hellenist who is working to revive hero prayer and hero worship. One person even told me that because of me and because they've started including heroes in their practice, that they think that their rituals are better for it.
Very good. Yeah, our entire practice is based on the heroic path, and there is not very much around heroes being practiced, so I'm very glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's a great honor.
In addition to the prayers and the rituals, how has following the ancient ways of the Hellenes affected your daily life? What from there do you bring into your life? Like, for instance, with Olympian Heroic Path, it's not so much the prayers and the worship and the rituals, but your service to your community that embodies the heroic spirit. So we're very flexible in terms of what somebody does in the relationship with the Olympians, the same way that if you date, you know, there's general dating advice or things that other people find works on dating, but establishing a relationship is up to you. We see it pretty much the same way, that the prayers and the rituals are kind of like religious practices, but developing a relation with the Olympian powers, that's something you have to do on your own. And it's the relationship that counts and not so much the niceties, which are, again, nice. If you have a good relationship with someone, you still do those little things, but that's not what the relationship is about. And in the same way with religion, those rituals and prayers are nice, but it's establishing the connection, the relationship that we focus on. What type of things do you do in your practice to anchor the spirit of Theseus and Bellerophon into the daily world? You've done a great service by writing about them, but how do you bring that heroic spirit into your daily life?
Well, I think that I think anytime someone writes their own unique prayers, I think that they develop a unique connection with the divinity that they're speaking with, because the prayer that you write and develop, or anything that you do in honor of that divinity, is unique in its own. And I believe that they're going to recognize and remember that specifically about you. And so one thing that I do to, you know, bring the heroes into my life and have my life benefit with the heroes, not only the heroes, but also the gods above all, of course, is I write my own prayers and I do my own rituals. But as far as, you know, going out in life, I think that, you know, connecting with the Olympian powers, as you say, or the Greek divinities, I think it's really taught me a lot about honor. It's taught me a lot about having a good work ethic, about treating people with courtesy and goodness, about dealing kind with others, about, you know, gaining things justly and not swindling or cheating people, doing things honorably, standing up for what you believe and doing the things that you believe to be right, no matter how many people are against you, even if you have to stand by yourself, all that, you know, independence and independent thinking, not dogma, but independent mentality, your own person, your own spirit. And so it's taught me a lot about being an individual and about making each day better than the one before.
Very well said. And that is an awesome way of approaching it. As a writer, what will you be tackling next? Will there be a book on Bellerophon?
Interestingly enough, I've had plans to write a book about Bellerophon in the past, but I haven't got around to it. Aside from religion, I also write fictional pieces. I write fantasy, horror. I also write nonfictional articles about my life, and I've been submitting those like crazy to independent publishers around the United States. But as far as religious books, I don't have any more planned as of right now, but, you know, tomorrow that could change. I get new ideas every day.
I write a lot as well, so I know exactly what you're talking about. What type of fiction do you write?
Well, let me make another point real quick. I do have a blog that I post on at least once a month, so if someone wants to read something new that I write religiously on a consistent basis, they can go there. It's ChristopherAldridge.blogspot.com, and I post there once every month of religious writing. But I'm sorry, what was your other question?
What type of fantasy do you write?
Usually it involves, recently any fantasy that I write is usually centered around the Greek gods or Hellenism. But in the past, I've written books about, I don't want to reveal the details, obviously, because it's not published yet. But in a nutshell, I write stories about other worlds, things that are supernatural, people becoming heroes themselves. Really the basic kind of fantasy that you would commonly see in books.
So will these be published soon?
I hope so. I've been sending them around to traditional publishers because I think those are the best way to go. If they accept your work, they accept it because it's good and because they publish it and they pay you and they put their own money behind promoting you and they give you a cut of all the sales that are made. You know, traditional publishers are the way to go, I think, if you want to be a really successful writer. And so I've been submitting like crazy to as many as I can find with as many pieces as I could find. And it's really hard to break into the publishing community that way. But I'm trying, and I'm not going to give up till I do.
Good. That's a heroic spirit right there.
And I've gone that route, too, with sending out writings to different publishers. And just keep going and keep doing it because you have to develop a thick skin while you do it because then you get the slips back that we can't use it right now. But while somebody might want it in one publishing company, maybe another one would. So just keep on trying.
And when we launch our other show, Pride of Olympus, there we'll be dealing with science fiction and fantasy, especially if it's Olympian themed. So you're more than welcome to promote your books when they're published on those shows. We'd be glad to lend you a hand in letting people know about them.
Okay.
Now, in the second segment of the show, we're going to have our interfaith dialogue. And I'd like to request if you can use one of the prayers from your books or something new that you've composed to close the session. Is that something that you would do?
Absolutely.
Awesome and fantastic. And recently I saw some clips from services you were holding at your home and broadcasting. Would you like to share a little bit about those?
Well, it's a new service that I've started for people. Basically, I pick a Hellenic topic that I talk about every week. It could be on a mythological story. It could be about, you know, the winter solstice and the return of the sun, like I did this week. It could be about general philosophy concerning the gods, anything that I think of to talk about that I think would make a good message for people in the Hellenic community and those who worship the Greek gods. Then I basically take a few minutes every Saturday to make a video about it.
Fantastic. And you've gotten a good response from what I can see.
Yes, I have. On average, my videos get over 500 views.
Awesome.
My one that got the most views was called The Midas Mistake, and talking about the mistakes of greed that our society still makes. And it got over 750 views thus far.
Fantastic. And you're very creative and you're very experimental. What can we expect to see next?
Oh, goodness. As far as the videos go?
Sure, as far as the videos or anything new that you're attempting.
Well, I haven't really thought about my next video yet. The week just started, but I've been thinking about doing something on Democritus.
Okay.
And philosophies about the gods.
That sounds very interesting.
But it's very well possible that it could change. I'm not sure yet.
And in terms of the Temple of the Greek Gods, although it's open to all the Olympians and other powers inside the Olympian system, the world, which are the major deities that you focus on?
Well, the Temple of the Greek Gods acknowledges the existence of all the ancient Greek divinities. We believe that the temple looks at the gods of Olympus as its gods. It's not like we only acknowledge one god or another. We acknowledge them all. But as far as an individual person who joins the temple, our only requirement is that they believe in the Greek gods, or at least believe in one Greek god. How they choose to worship is of their own accord, their own affair. But we just wanted to have a home and a place of worship for everyone who loves the Greek gods, because we saw so much exclusivism going on when we started. People being told that, you know, you don't practice this way or that way, so therefore you can't be part of us. And, you know, I've even been called a heretic in the past before. I wanted to have a place where everybody who loves the Greek gods are welcome to come.
Very awesome. And how can folks learn more about your writings? Where can they go to purchase them?
You can go to my website. It's called chrisaldridge.net, A-L-D-R-I-D-G-E. And you can go there and you go to books and publications, and there's direct links and pictures to everything that I've written as far as religious matters are concerned.
And you mentioned that on Blogspot you have a blog, and people can go there once a month to see what you've written that's new, and you post religiously once a month.
That's right. Yeah, on the first of every month, I make a new post, a new religious writing. And it's you can also go there, find the link on my website that I just mentioned. You go to my website and you click on the blog tab, and you just click on the picture of the journal, and it'll take you right to it. But if you want the web address, it's christopheraldridge.blogspot.com.
And you also have a presence on Facebook, and you're very active on Facebook. How can people find you there?
My personal Facebook page is facebook.com/ChrisWayneAldridge, my middle name. It's spelled W-A-Y-N-E. But if you want to find the temple, it's simply facebook.com/TempleOfTheGreekGods. And that is our Facebook page, and quite a successful one, I think. We've gotten 1,626 likes so far, and it's
Fantastic. Usually
climbing every day. So over the course of our time on Facebook, we've gained nothing but continuous support. And because of that, you know, we're doing a lot through the temple. We do religious and spiritual counseling. My wife does oracle readings. We even have Hellenic education classes that we're creating for people. So we do a lot.
That is fantastic. Keep up the good work. And I'm looking forward to having your feedback in the second segment of the show. I'm going to put you on hold for a little while, and we're going to go to commercial. Thank you so very much for being here tonight, Chris.
It's my pleasure.
Okay, what is the song that we're listening to today, Athena?
Okay, our midpoint musical interlude for today is Bone Poets Orchestra, Oracle.
Ah, the Oracle. Let us see what wisdom she will share with us.
I am. one creation, and she ain't got time for fools. Do you really want to see some future in the palm of your hand? Tell me, what's it gonna be? Do you really think you really want to understand?
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. This is Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And you're listening to Voice of Olympus here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We are doing an extended two-part show today. In the first part of the show, we talked with Christopher Aldridge of the Temple of the Greek Gods, and we reviewed his writings and his beliefs and practices. And now, part two of the show, we're going to have the Mount Olympus Intrafaith Interfaith Dialogue. And this is a tradition we started in season two that will be continuing well into season three, which is starting in March. So without further ado, I'm going to invite everybody in, and then I will do the opening prayer. And there's a lot of button pressing here. Anyway, we're all here. Welcome, everybody.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. And I will start with an Olympian blessing. I call upon heaven and the benevolent powers that shaped us in the dawn of time and guide us still to bless this show, its audience, and all that they hold dear. May all be blessed with optimal wellness, with abundance and prosperity, with love and peace, with joy and fulfillment. In the name of the highest, I dedicate myself toward this becoming so. And from the altar high atop Mount Olympus, my soul's true home, I sound the horn of summoning and welcome all who heed the call. And I'd like to thank all of you for heeding the call for this particular adventure. I'm very honored that you're on this journey with us.
Thank you. It looks like it's going to be fun.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm hoping so.
Great to be here.
Michael and Diane Duncan from the Urantia book, Los Angeles and the Celestial World Headquarters for the Sixth Revelation will not be able to join us tonight because they're having a prayer night for world peace in their home. So they send their regards to everyone, and I ask them to please add our prayers to theirs. And we have two new people today on our panel. First, the famous Maria D'Andrea. Greetings, Maria.
Hi, how are you today?
Great. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your interfaith ministry?
Okay. Well, I actually do a lot of different things. So at this point, my web guy, wonderful gentleman that he is, he said to me, just tell people to put my name into Google.
There you go.
Because I'm on Amazon, Kindle, Nook, YouTube. I'm kind of everywhere. Too many years of this, right? I'm a European shaman, and I'm a shaman connected to one of the tribes, the Tuscarora tribe, and I'm an interfaith minister. And I'm also a professional psychic. I'm a public speaker on the spiritual, psychic, and the paranormal. Like you said, everything that's connected to the spiritual realm. And one of the things that I'm doing also is I have a ministry ordination training course. And I also have a book coming out soon. One of my series is called the Yes, You Can series, because I really believe everybody can do things, and we like to have everybody do things for themselves, because then the world gets better. And it's called the Book of Common Prayer, which I'm sure the people on the show with me as interfaith ministers have heard, but it's a little different version. So it tells people how they can do commitment ceremonies and different things, but it's basically interfaith and different religions, so people have a choice. I tend to look at it as there's one source. We don't really care what path you take to get there.
And I'm sure each of us in our own way, you know, feels very similarly. Otherwise, we wouldn't be focused on interfaith communication and interfaith dialogue and interfaith prayer. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you.
Has Oscar joined us today? Oscar, are you here? Okay, I guess Oscar did not join us. Chris, we just had you on, so I'll skip over you. Tina Chandler, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Greetings, Tina. How are you?
Boiling up. Thank you very much.
Yes, it's very hot where you are, I heard. Here we're freezing, and you're boiling down in Florida.
Yes, Florida has decided not to participate in the month of December.
Good for Florida.
I hate you guys
so
much.
Tell us about your own path. You also are part of this interfaith dialogue. Tell us a little bit about the path that you walk and how it relates to interfaith, to the Olympians.
By practice, I am a solitary and hoping to someday establish my own shrine through the Krilla Nativist tradition. Krilla Nativist tradition is originally here in the United States, and our beliefs are deity is a diamond. It has many facets, many names, many aspects, but how we worship them is our own affair, and as long as we harm them, do thou as you will. I find myself calling on both the Celtic as well as the Greek and Roman. My sons are getting now involved with the pantheons, learning about mythology and things like that. And we've had fun trying to reenact some of the trials of Hercules or Jason and the Golden Fleece and other things like that. And it's really interesting to start to bring the art of storytelling back into to focus with them and also with other children as well.
Now, what was the name of that tradition here on the keyboard? The sound started to break at that point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on a minute. Can you hear me better now?
Yes. And what was the name of the tradition that you follow?
The Karelian Nativist Tradition.
Karelian Nativist Tradition. Okay, thank you.
Brunzels
Proximal. Welcome, brother.
Welcome. It's good to hear from you again.
Why don't you share a little bit about your heroic path with Aries?
So I'm one of a few that refer to ourselves as the Order of Aries. We are a collection of active military people, veterans, and martial artists. We focus on physical health and providing security for safe spaces. Our help has been enlisted to provide safety for religious practices, for LGBT artists, and but most of our focus is on self-improvement and enlisting others in the heroic path.
Thank you. Very well said. Thomas Ponton, are you here with us? I guess Thomas is not. And Linda Marciniak.
Hello.
Welcome, Linda. Introduce yourself and the path that you represent.
So, my name is Linda Marciniak, and I own a small metaphysical shop in the northern end of New Jersey. We have a very open and eclectic group that works in the sanctuary that we have there on the second floor. My tradition was Celtic witchcraft initially when I was initiated into the craft some years ago. And I myself have really incorporated a lot of the Eastern philosophies into my work. I do a lot of work with guided meditation, healing bowls, and aroma therapy. We do a meditation group every other Thursday night at the shop where basically all three of those modalities are utilized to kind of bring the soul along into a blissful state and work on a journey.
Awesome. And I have the honor of occasionally giving a presentation at the Amber Dragon on the Seven Heavens. And we've been progressing with that for a while now, and it's going to continue for a big part of 2017. And it's indeed an awesome shop. Well, welcome, everyone. Did I miss anyone? So everyone has had a chance to speak. Okay, great. We have more lights lit than we have people talking, so I'm hoping whoever's there is okay. Anyway. We are going to go down the list alphabetically, and this way it's nice and fair, and we'll start with Chris Aldridge. Tonight's topic is, what was your call to your spiritual home, and how did you know that you got there? So, Chris.
Well, I had a fascination with ancient Greece for quite a while before I decided to officially become Hellenic. It started in high school when my English class studied the Odyssey, and from that point on, I had always had a fascination with the Greek gods and the ancient Greek culture. It was always something I studied throughout my years in school and on into college. But what really converted me, if you want to call it that, I was still pretty much a Christian theist in 2009. And my wife and I, who's my fiance at the time, we had just got our first apartment together. And we had a really awesome spiritual experience together where, we basically saw the gods. And it converted us to Hellenic polytheism. And so from that point on, I have dedicated my life to their service.
Very awesome. Thank you so very much. Tina Chandler.
Yo.
Greetings. The question
Greetings.
Is, how did you get your calling, and how did you know that you finally arrived at your spiritual home?
Well, going back so many years, my mother has always been really conscious of education, and she taught us from a young age to read. And being introduced to pictures from Egypt in kindergarten, I wanted to learn all I could about that. So I started reading the myths also at the same time. And it was Aesop's myths and also Bullfinch mythology. I was already reading Wallace Budge. And that is an excellent motivation for sleep if I've ever read anything. He is so dry. You need a glass of water just to drink it while reading it. But it was very educational, and I started learning about the different gods and goddesses, and that got me in so much trouble growing up in the Southern Baptist Church, because I always ask, "Well, where do we build the altars to God and goddess, and why did we have this when you're not supposed to think wrong and you're going to hell. You're going to hell if you do this. You're going to hell if you do that." And that's very scary for a child. I found so much comfort in the myths and stories. And at the time, the Sword and Sandal movies, the Steve Reeves movies, I watched those and just admire them. And my favorite goddess growing up was Athena. I always loved to read the stories about Athena. And when I was about 8 years old, I had a dream. And this dream was about a beautiful lady that came and literally took me out of my house and was taking me around. And I felt so comfortable with her and so at peace with her. I mean, I was bullied in school. I was picked on, beaten up almost every day. And for the first time in such a long time, I just received comfort. And as I got older and then into high school, I started reading about how to do rituals and things like that. And as I'm reading on how to perform different rituals and prayers and things like that, it just felt like, bless you, by the way, that I had come home, that I found that everything that I was reading and I was doing was actually clicking. And it just felt made me feel spiritually so much more fulfilled than I had been before.
Thank you so very much.
No problem.
Next, Maria D'Andrea.
Hi. By the way, I love everybody's stories. I think they're so interesting.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Well, with me, I've always been psychic, and I've always been able to do magic, which nowadays they rephrase it as paranormal or metaphysics. I have to keep updated with the new names for it. Right? But I've always been psychic, and what happened with me was I was coming over from the Hungarian Revolution. We were escaping, and I was with my mother. I was six, and I was with my mother and a group of people. And at some point, they stopped, and they were trying to decide if they should move forward to try to cross the border without getting killed or if they should turn back. It was, it's very extreme times, and it's cold, and it was just horrendous, obviously. And a lot of people were getting killed, so it was a very serious decision. And my mother told me that I told the group that God told me that if they move forward, they will definitely be protected and safe. So half the people turned back. A couple of the people went forward. And actually, she told me that the people that turned back were all killed. And we made it to Austria. Now, honestly, because I have a warped sense of humor, my first thought was, why would you listen to a six-year-old? But she said that the way I was speaking did not fit my age. So they took it more seriously, and they just followed and went to Austria. And like I said, and I've always been able to tune in and to do spiritual things. So when I became, when I started learning to be a shaman, part of that is being a minister of some form. Okay? It means being a spiritual leader, among other things that you do as a shaman. And everything just always fit. It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. And I know that you guys know what I mean. So it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Everything just, you know, progressed. And it never in my life occurred to me that there isn't one, you know, there isn't, let me put it this way, a main source that I can tune into. And then, of course, we deal with different deities and angelic forces and whatever we're using at the time to connect with. But I always just knew, because there's no other way to put it, it just feels like you know, and there's no question behind it. It's a knowing.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Marciniak, how did you get the call, and how did you know when you finally arrived?
So I think being called was something that happened throughout my life. I was always finding myself in the woods, wandering in natural places. I felt more at home and comfortable, you know, hanging out by the waterfall. I would always find stones and bones and interesting things. And so I think my feet were on the path, but we're socialized and culturized to really, you know, buy into our rational thinking and to kind of debunk anything else that's going on in there. So it wasn't until I was a little bit older, actually, and I was on a trip to Maine, and I had a very cathartic experience. And that really was my wake-up call, that all of these other steps that I had been following in my life were leading to a more traditional faith, you know, based on, you know, the wheel of the year and, you know, the natural forces around us.
Thank you very much. Cuantos próximo.
Thank you, Hercules. So, as a youth, I can remember fondly watching the Mighty Hercules cartoon and connecting more with the characters in the cartoon than in what they were presenting to me on in Sunday at church. And also, as a youth, watching the Jason and the Argonauts movie for the first time, I was shaken to my core by the imagery. And in my adult years, I was swayed by culture and such to keep on the monotheistic path that was easiest and approved by the local cultures and social and whatnot. And being exposed to some Hellenic polytheists, I sort of rediscovered something that had been hiding in me or suppressed. And one afternoon, I asked the gods to send me a sign if I should go back to their path. And that very simple sign was actualized. And I let loose or freed myself from the monotheistic path that society had suggested I follow. And since then, I have found many mentors, yourself included, Hercules, and your lovely bride. And I have found myself trying to light the path for others. As a martial artist and This year I finally passed my test and become a master.
Congratulations.
I'm in a unique position. Thank you. I'm in a unique position to open the path to others. Zifos and Alexandros, you know, have also made significant progress, as have others in the orders. And we're just collectively trying to open the door and help other people sort of break free.
And you do an excellent job. I know that we've interacted for many a year, and I really like how your path has developed and how it's gone more public. I'm really in awe of the things you're doing.
One of the most flattering things that happens is when I have a conversation with somebody from a different faith, at the end of the conversation, they ask me, oh, so you're a blank, meaning whatever they are. And I say, well, not exactly. I'm a philosopher. But it's happened with people from different Abrahamic faiths, for Hindus and others. Oh, they just assume that I'm one of them because the truth is truth and they recognize my flesh.
And philosopher means a lover of truth, a lover of wisdom. So that does fit you very well.
You're very kind.
Thank you, Brontos Proxima. Athena Victory.
Well, I feel like I've kind of always been. From the earliest time I can remember, I've been kind of connected to the divine feminine. As a child, though, I found my earliest icons in people actually on television, like from Honey West, Emma Peel, the Mighty Isis, later Wonder Woman. The first goddess connections I got were actually for Athena and Artemis. But I've always been attracted to divine feminine, also to the heroic path, because also in those days of television, I had my superheroes. I had the Mighty Sons of Hercules. I read Conan at a very early age because I was always a reader. So there was always that tie-in for not only taking what you are with the divine within you, but also going out and doing heroic deeds, for going out there, and that the women were just as capable as men. The biggest connection I got from that, too, because there weren't that many female superheroes when I was growing up, and she would be actually appalled to hear this probably, Jessica Amanda Salmonson came out with Tomoe Gozen, and she had put out anthologies called Amazons. And here were the women doing what Conan was doing. These were the women doing what all these other sword and sorcery heroes were doing, and that very much appealed to me.
That is awesome. And, of course, listening to that, it reinforces how I made the right choice.
And I married a superhero, so what can I say?
Thank you, Athena. Our mysterious, the person who was mysteriously in our number silently just dropped out, so I don't know who it is. But anyway, I'll share a little bit about my calling and how I found home. I'm Greek. And not only am I Greek, I'm a Lemnian Greek. So Lemnos is the island where Jason and the Argonauts landed and tarried for a bit over a year because it was the Isle of Amazon women. So since antiquity, the Lemnians have been boasting about this. And so we're raised with it. It's in our blood. And some ancient Roman author ranted about that for a few paragraphs in one of his works. But we've been claiming that ancestry for a very long time. And what folks don't know is that Hercules went there several times, including the time with the Argonauts. He went there and he erected a temple to Athena as a nymph. So Athena is a young lady. And he also came there as a god. It was the first place he appeared as a full-blown Olympian. And he got the bow of Philoctetes for Odysseus so they could win the Trojan War. So we have that connection to Hercules, the Argonauts, and the Amazons. And the mythology of Lemnos is slightly older than the mythology of Greece. Lemnos was part of an older empire that was in the Balkans, the Black Sea. Genetically, the Lemnians are tied to the Trojans and to the Etruscans. So, you know, we're older than Greece. We're part of the Roman Empire. We're part of the Ottoman Empire. Now we're part of Greece. So, but we often go our own way for short periods of time. I was raised with this in my home. I attended Greek parochial school where they taught us the classical mythology, ancient Greek, and all of those things, philosophy, and so forth. I also happened to be born during the Peplum era when Steve Reeves' movie that he made in 1957 hit the screens in 1959 and started years of spaghetti muscle man movies about Hercules, Jason the Argonauts, Atlas, Colossus, and so forth. I also watched the Mighty Hercules cartoon, as did my wife and Bronto. So the pop culture, the heritage, and the education all combined to give me a very strong belief in the ancient myths. During my childhood, I had something I've called my primal vision, and I posted that on my website for anyone who's interested in it. But basically, in that vision as a child, I merged with the figure of Hercules, and I blew a horn of a celestial bull, and people came and we did things. And that's been kind of like my guiding vision through my whole life. Whenever I close my eyes, it's there. I experience it in 3D sense around, so it's accompanied me throughout my earthy sojourn. I've done different things in attempting to have these heroic adventures, everything from integrating them into a street gang as a child to different types of sports teams as a child. During high school, I received metaphysical training. I was a deep trance medium for a theosophical theurgic group. So I had years of training in that as well. And although I'm more resonant with the ancient forms, I'm glad that I got a taste of modern practices as well, because they integrated into what I was doing quite well. And as an adult, this has permeated everything from entertainment to actual human service efforts to bridge the digital divide to increase literacy and all sorts of other things. And I'm just getting warmed up. I'm almost 60, but the best is yet to come. And the things I've dreamed up for the next few years ahead are much grander than anything I've ever attempted. And personally, at present, I am motivated by the fact that with the age of 60 comes the realization that you're not going to live forever. So there's an extra fire under my butt to get moving and to make these things happen a lot quicker than I had originally planned. So that is my particular story. We have time. We have another half hour. So I think I'll move on to the next question. Is that okay with everybody?
Of course.
Sure.
Okay. What made you wish to share your path, even if not the specifics of your path, the essence of your path? Because everyone here believes in interfaith, so no one here appears to want to thrust their particular viewpoint onto other people and make them believe that. But everyone here is open to other people and their ways. So what made you want to reach out and do this, this interfaith effort where you took a religious understanding that you had gained and where you'd find your spiritual home, and you opened up not only the path to your home, but the path to anyone's home, to the higher planes? And again, we'll go alphabetically. Chris Aldridge.
Well, one thing that I hope to achieve by having an interfaith dialogue with people, not just people who are polytheists, but also people who are not, is to show them that the Greek gods are real. Because a lot of people in our world today don't consider them to be legitimate divinities. And, you know, so when I can talk about the night that my wife and I were in serious danger, and Athena and Apollo showed up with one prayer, whereas Jesus never showed up, no matter how much I begged. And, you know, when my son was born at 24 weeks, and, you know, every doctor that we talked to pretty much expected him to die, but the God said he wouldn't, and he's now 6 years old in first grade, doing wonderfully. I just want to show people that the ancient Greek religion is far more than just myth. It is real. It is a legitimate view of divinity. And that's one thing that I hope to share.
That's very powerful. Thank you very much. Tina Chandler?
Yes.
I'm hoping for understanding and to show
people, especially those that struggle with their own personal identity and their own their spiritual identities, that you don't have to go one way or another. You can expand. You can reach out and perhaps touch another pathway that you never thought you could consider. That you could, well, it's so hard to put my thoughts in the words. that if we can show the more, what I call the mainstream book religions, that those of us of alternative religions can speak in dialogue, in perfect faith, perfect love, perfect trust, and exactly get together and say, okay, well, you believe that way? That's fine. Let's help out this way. Then maybe that will convince or try to show other people gently, not like other religions that proselytize and try to hammer their religion side throughout. You will believe as we do, and you will have your children believe as we do, or this will happen or that will happen. There's a choice. And people have the right to choose.
Okay, thank you very much. Maria D'Andrea.
Hi. Okay, so I look at it like this. I personally feel that if you look at all belief systems, doesn't matter what they are, if you look at all forms of belief systems, there's a thread that goes through all of them. They all speak about love. They all speak about truth. They all have the same basics. And although I'm into faith and I'm based out of more of a Christian religion, however, I'm also dealing with the paranormal and the psychic and the other avenues. So I personally feel that I work with the angelic fields. I work with different deities that are more pagan. And I feel that everybody has the ability to work on that level. It's just a matter of where you resonate at that point in your life. So if I'm working on, as an example, healing somebody, you know, I work from the system that fits that person, not necessarily from the only system I believe in, because they all resonate the same way, just at different times with different people. The energy matches differently. Okay. And I like to speak and teach the spiritual and, of course, the psychic and paranormal field, because I truly believe that everybody has this ability. Whether they have an interest in it or not, that's different, because if it's not their path, you know, as, you know, we were talking about before, we're not trying to convert anybody, change anybody. We're just offering them tools, and then whether they choose to use it or not, that's free will. So I personally feel that the more people can do for themselves, it's that domino effect, the more they can help others, and then they get better, and as I said, it's that domino effect. So I find, even though I do commitment ceremonies and weddings and everything else, I find I like teaching more. In fact, that's why I have the books out, because I feel the more you can do for yourself, I really feel the higher you get spiritually also, because as, you know, all of you know, when you're helping other people from the heart, it also elevates you. If you're helping people because you're supposed to, it doesn't do anything.
Very true. And Timothy Beckley, who is an awesome individual, I had the pleasure of meeting him years ago. He was on a series of shows we had years ago as well. He sent me copies of three of your books, which I reviewed, and they're awesome books. And,
oh, thank you.
My shamanic and theosophical and theurgic background gives me the door to interact with angelic presences and devas and elementals and all sorts of other creatures that are in the mythology, the mythical framework of Olympus, but known by other names or not exactly focused on. But they're there if you know where to look for them. So you and I share very many things in our approach to the cosmos, and I'm appreciative of that.
Well, thank you. I find that sometimes I call in deities that are Hungarian that people just don't know about, because if you look at the map, Hungary is like this little tiny, tiny spot on the map. So, you know, I find that we call in whatever helps the situation, as opposed to we're going to be strictly dealing with one spirit or one entity all the time. I find I have a radio show on Block Talk Radio called Hidden Mysteries, and it's once a month on Wednesdays. And awesome. I find that we talk about everything as you do, because I feel sometimes somebody may have an interest in one subject or one outlook and not in something else. But eventually it's going to resonate on some level depending on what they're going through at the time or where their spirit is at that moment.
Very awesome. I'm going to throw in something that I was going to deal with after everybody spoke, but just in case we don't get there in this particular episode. In season three, the show we're doing tonight is going to be a monthly. We're going to do it once a month. So,
oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
I would like to create pages for everybody with links to everything that they're doing so that people can find out, you know, what you're doing apart from this dialogue that we'll be having. And it will be a bit more structured. Those of you who've been with these dialogues since the beginning will see that I played with them a little bit here or there. That was all to try different approaches. So with what's happening tonight, I see that, okay, I know now what to do next, and that's what we'll be using for the show. So we will discuss this after we've had our round, but I just wanted to throw on the table now so that folks could start thinking about it. Thank you, Maria.
Oh, thank you.
Linda.
Yeah, so I don't see faith as a choice. I believe that who we are, intrinsically, we have always been. And so from pure faith is to act from your true soul, who you are in infinity. And we bring that knowledge with us into each incarnation of our being. And I think that individually and universally, we all evolve from that point, that pure truth. And to bring that out and to teach it is not necessarily a choice either, because if you're breathing your faith, then others are going to be seeing that and hearing that. And again, not in a way that you use propaganda or you use, you know, doctrine or dogma to try and, you know, give it structure. But if you're living and breathing your faith, I think that is the lesson for others as well as yourself. And I think each one of us has probably at one point or another had fear or had doubt that has interfered with that path. And but the conflict has been, for me, the fact that at my core, I have always been who I am. And if I don't speak my truth, that's when the conflict occurs. So rhetoric is never something that goes over very well for folks that are on the path of wisdom and pure knowledge. And I think that I don't really have a choice about bringing that out to the world, because I live it and I breathe it every day. Having the opportunity to share that in the space of the Amber Dragon has really been a gift. I have a very, very amazing group of souls that come together and bring light and love and energy into the world. And I'd like to think that part of that comes from each one of us that's participating in those circles at any one time. So I don't know that I lead that circle as much as I lend myself to it. And if we're all doing that and we're all coming from that place, I think that's where we're all going to grow together, and we're going to share those common expectations that we all move through this life with a level of compassion and respect that dignifies every faith, and harm to none, of course, and love under will being, you know, tantamount for me in this journey.
Very awesomely said, Linda, and it's starting to come into focus, this dialogue that we're having, although some of us focus on the Olympians and our spirituality. We all seem to feel from what we're saying that there is something more, and that although some of us, our soul's home might be Olympus, for some it might not be, and that everyone's home is ultimately one. We all come from one primal source, and depending on what belief system you belong to, this can either be understood or it's beyond our comprehension. But there is that unity, and there's also a respect not only for the path that you're on, but the fact that other people might be on slightly different paths, but there's something of value that you can share with them, so that wherever they're wandering through on their way to the source, you can give them something of value. So that's very, very well said. Thank you, Linda. Runtos Proximo.
Hello again.
Hello.
So, as a martial artist, I spend a lot of time teaching, and it is on the surface separate from my faith, because I don't specifically carve out my faith when I'm teaching. It is very important to me personally and the other members of the order who are martial artists that we help people get to a place where they have the self-confidence so that when somebody raises a fist, that they don't cower in panic, and even beyond that, that they aren't moved to violence themselves. After all, most of us spend several hours a week in a room where some of the people we love most in the world practice trying to kick us in the head. And
I like that.
We like to call it kicking people in the head for fun and prizes. But if you practice that and someone raises a bald fist, you know in your heart of hearts, people that I love have tried harder than that to kick me in the head. So that self-confidence opens up the space where an intellectual solution to a problem can be achieved. So without that training, people might panic and a situation could devolve into something violent. With that training, there's an inner confidence and courage that's like, look, even though this guy thinks he might hit me, I can get to a place where we can solve this, shake hands, and go our own way. Especially in light of the recent election, there are a lot of people in our community, and some of the most targeted, disadvantaged members of our community are very, very frightened. And that fear can drive them to do things out of panic. And I feel that it is the responsibility of the members of the Order of Aries, as well as people in our greater community, to provide a safe space to help those people build their confidence. Because I've said this many times, that I will not allow these things to go on in my presence, and I'm encouraging others who in the past may have taken a conciliatory tone in order to keep peace, in order to smooth things over, say, no, that language is not acceptable. That behavior is not acceptable. You are not more equal than other members of our community, regardless of their sexual orientation, their citizenship status, the color of their skin, how they worship. We're all people, and that needs to be level playing ground. And in the past, and I include myself in this, we may have taken a conciliatory tone towards, well, you know, you've got your opinion kind of thing. And I think that giving sort of equal voice to people who are saying stuff that is just bat poop crazy has got us into the situation where we're looking at a reality star as a president-elect and a rogues gallery being nominated as his cabinet. And I think that we really, in all of those conversations, need to say, no, you're not being a good person by saying these things. You're not being fair to other individuals, and I won't have you say that in front of me.
That is a very powerful and unique stance, and yes, we seem to be seeing the dark side of political correctness manifest in what's going on around us. And as this reality that we've allowed to materialize is going to be one that we all have to deal with, at least for the next 4 years, I believe that looking into that mirror and examining how we contributed toward this happening is indeed a very necessary and, for many people, a very heroic step to take. So thank you very much, Bronto.
My pleasure. I'll leave you with one more thing. Oh,
okay.
Sorry. I'll leave you with one more thing. Patrick Stewart, and I'm paraphrasing, because I don't remember the exact quote, had said something to the effect of that the world is run by old white men. And now that I am one, I'm going to use that to affect change. So I issue a challenge to all men who have got a little silver in their hair to use that entry key to the conversations with other old white men who feel that they're in power, and educate where you can and subvert where you can't.
There you go. Thank you very much for leaving that point. Athena Victory.
Well, I kind of look at the role that Athena had in antiquity. She was a patroness of the arts. She rewarded people that were intellectual. And at the same time, she was a patroness of heroes. And what she did with the heroes was she gave them the tools they would need to succeed. They had to do it themselves, but she would point them, give them pointers, show them the right way, give them tools. As a weaver, think of the weave of the cloth as the weave of society. So you have a nice, healthy cloth if all the threads are strong. And that's what we need. I find my role now for helping people is whatever I can do to give support, find resources for them, give people comfort. A lot of people I see are on Facebook, and I have all different kinds of friends. They're afraid. They're angry. They're wondering what's going to happen. And you think of what it was like in the movie or the play Cabaret, that people are going on their lives right now thinking that, oh, nothing's bad's going to happen. It's just a changing of the guard. And we know from what happened in Cabaret, especially, that isn't exactly what happened. And above all, I call to the other people who are fighters that have are trying to do this to help the other people. Realize that not everyone emotionally can handle it. I have friends who are very, very ill all the time from fibromyalgia and other things. And this is really killing them, what's going on. And then they get yelled at by people for not doing anything. Some people can't fight. So these are the people we also have to fight for. These are also the people who need our kindness. And it's a very, people tend to they don't really appreciate what kindness is. And kindness is kind of just putting yourself out there and having an empathy or sympathy for people. And it's little acts all every day, even if it's something that you're just saying, I'm listening to you, I hear you, and I'm there for you. And that can help a person get through a day. So whether we do big, big things and sign petitions or go on marches, that's great. But don't forget to do the little things as well. And that's pretty much where I'm at, that I'm using my spirituality or my heroic path now is trying to help out my friends and see what I could do to find resources for them or else just holding their hand for a while if they need it.
And you're certainly my inspiration and guiding light, my muse, so I greatly appreciate you doing that. With me, it's this has been a very interesting decade for me, and I hope it's less interesting during the next decade, but my entire world's been turned upside down several times, and I've had to continuously redefine what I was doing so that I could stay true to my inner sense of mission and who I am and express that. And I'm finding that at this particular point in time, the most powerful thing that I'm doing is basically blessing people and giving them positive reinforcement and positive support, which seems to give them a sense of courage, which seems to give them a sense that they're not alone in what they're going through. And it's very easy to get swallowed up by the negative. So just by keeping things positive all the time, many people say they gain courage from that. In terms of interfaith, this radio show is one of the efforts. I'm also involved in interfaith events here in my hometown. I was at the MC at this year's interfaith parade. Next year, I'm planning the parade, so it's going to be even more interfaith. And if anyone lives anywhere near New Jersey, I'll invite you to come over. Let's have a presence of people with alternate religions at these type of local events to show that, you know, indeed, there are very many voices in the interfaith community. I've been going to interfaith mental health conferences, and I've been getting involved in any way I can with dialoguing with people from different faiths. Although faith, the path of faith is a wonderful one that can lead you to the higher realms, it can also get you killed. So that paradox, the two sides of that coin, are the ones that I'm addressing. In the world we're living in now, faith seems to be one of the most dangerous things in that people are killing each other over faith. They're blowing each other up over faith. They're saying horrible things about each other. So since that's where the greatest darkness is, that's where I need to shed whatever light can come through me. So that's been my particular thrust to do something, because I don't care where your soul's true home is, and I don't care if it's the same as mine. I know where mine is. I'm happy that I'm there, and my joy for you is that you find your true home. You know, then you could be happy too, because it seems that everyone who finds their soul's true home has joy in them, regardless of what's going on. So that is something that I wish on everybody. So that was round two, and we're approaching the end of the show. So what I want to share with everybody before Christopher Aldrich reads us the closing prayer is that season three is fast upon us. It's starting in March. And what I would like to do is to carry this on a monthly basis. So we basically have this show on a monthly basis. We have our panelists, and it's going to be in part a revisiting what we did in season two, and that I'll revisit you each on an individual show like we did with Chris today, like we recently did with Maria. And this way we can explore your particular journey and what you're doing a little bit more. We'll do a page on our website with links to anywhere you'd like, and it'll also have links to the recordings of this dialogue that you're on so that people can follow your thoughts on this dialogue. I will write down a series of questions that we'll be addressing for the next 6 months. This way you have time to prepare and you have time to think about it. And we can really not only find ways of sharing our views and opinions, but finding ways of working together. Like, for instance, Michael and Diane, they have a monthly prayer meeting. And we've been cooperating with them and sharing their prayers and so forth. So it doesn't have to be anything stupendous, although I will probably be doing something very social and very visible. But whatever you're doing to make this a better world, to make this a better place, to increase understanding and communication, let's see how we can help in any way. It might not be monetarily, it might not be in terms of time, but in terms of moral support even. Whatever the heroic path is, you do what you can do. And if you can't do very much, then fine. Don't do very much, but do that. Always do what you can do. So that's where I'm going with this particular path. So what feedback would you guys offer me on that?
Personally, I think you're on the right path. And I think that what you're doing is going to have people's minds and hearts expand more. Whether they agree with everything or not, at least you're giving them all the information, and then it's their free will, but at least you're giving them choices on their path.
Thank you, Maria.
I agree.
Anybody else?
I was just going to say that I think as you expand spiritually, I find you're going to attract more and more people. It feels to me more like a magnet. You know, there's that occult law that says like attracts like. So I think the more that you do this, and the more it expands, I really think you're going to be phenomenal.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have any feedback?
I think.
No, Marie.
I think that's okay. I think that whatever you choose to do, Hercules, as long as you're doing it from that place of, you know, of strength and truth, it's always going to ring true. I know, you know, in the workshops that you're doing at the Amber Dragon, it's just always an amazing journey with you because you speak from your heart and you're just sharing your truth with the world. And I think that that's really the path that we all have to take. And I just enjoy being a part of this, and having experienced you as a participant, I just think that you're really definitely on the right path.
Thank you very much, Linda, and I'm honored that we're walking this path together.
There are some people who haven't even considered that there might be another path. So, Hercules, with the work that you're doing and the work that some of the rest of us are doing, presenting the idea that there's another path, even if they don't take our path, just opening their mind that they don't have to, there isn't just one truth, that they can open themselves up to another truth and begin their exploration, that in and of itself has value. So I think that some of us are not necessarily saying, hey, come follow our path, but that you don't have to be restricted to what you may have been introduced to. And here's a very different way of thinking about things, and there are more. Go learn.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes?
Do you have any feedback? Any thoughts on that thought?
In terms of what? What exactly?
In terms of the next step in this particular journey, are you interested in? I'm blowing the horn of summoning, and I'm seeing who's interested in proceeding with this journey. This is my Argonaut voyage for 2017 and beyond. So, would you be interested in being one of the Argonauts?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's great to have these discussions and have interfaith dialogue and talk about what we can do to strengthen the community. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Okay, thank you very much. And Tina?
I think you're presenting this more, as freedom of information and freedom of choice in some of its more purest of forms. As we have gone into more of a technological age, there's more information that's just out there, and people are pretty savvy on getting that information, having the information presented out there in so free and so open a forum, again, allows the person to choose their pathways, get information that wasn't there 10, 20 years ago, speak with all of us, and get advice from any of us on the pathways, on possible ways of expanding that to our children in the next generation, and how to expand on that in our own community. So I think it's a great idea.
Thank you very much, Tina. And the Argonaut Expedition was an interfaith journey. You had the children of various gods, some of them who were warring with each other, cooperating with people who were not the children of a god or might not have believed in any god or have been at odds with the gods of their culture. And they all cooperated together to attain something that has inspired us for the millennia since. So it's in the spirit of the Argonauts that I move forward, as with most of my earthy endeavors. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and you'll be getting an email. My apologies for the emails did not seem to have all reached their destination, although I put everybody's email address. So I will check into that. And if you guys can check your spam filters, let's see if they wound up in spam for some reason. But this is the first time it's happened where I've had to send the information out several times. I look forward to having everybody on again. Christopher, would you do us the honors of reading the closing prayer? And this is something that Christopher wrote.
Absolutely. This is from my book, Light of Olympus. It is called Invocation of the God's Favor Through Pegasus.
Oh.
Okay. O gods of Olympus, send to us your favor as the great stallion and steed, winged Pegasus, who soars about the skies, as we humbly invoke you, the great Dodecatheon. We pray that he carry us upon his back in your power and might, virtue and valor, wisdom and wellness, for with him we can triumph over all troubles, soar over all obstacles, and stomp over all monsters, as they are crushed beneath the hooves of heaven's horse. Come, glorious Pegasus, spread your wings over us. The favor of all that is divine, shield from evil. Lift us to your back, that we may take flight in the name of Olympus, conquering the ailments that plague our lives and that hinders the goodness of mankind. Wherever you shall fly over us, let your wings bless us beyond imagination, and grace the lands and people, the power of earth be forever strengthened, as the love and wonder of the gods comes with you.
Thank you. That was beautiful, Christopher.
Oh, thank you.
My pleasure.
Can I say something for a second?
Sure.
Okay. I was just saying, I just wanted to tell you, when you started that prayer, because, you know, I do psychic readings and things, as soon as you started that prayer, it kind of shifted everybody, well, at least me, into different vibrational level, because everything was kind of tingly when you started. So
yes,
I just wanted to thank you, because you could actually feel the vibration of the prayer itself.
That's great. I'm glad to hear it.
Absolutely. Maria, would you do us the honors in our next show to do the closing prayer?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Awesome. Everyone, thank you so very much for joining us. I wish you all a healthy and a happy new year. And I am humbled by the fact that you accepted the invitation to be Argonauts. So let's make the year ahead, and as long as this voyage lasts, a spectacular one that hopefully people will talk about for ages to come.
Thank you for having me
pleasure.
On the show.
Okay, have a
Thank
wonderful
you.
Evening.
I look forward to talking again.
Good night.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. Blessed be.
Good night,
bye.
Everybody.
Happy New Year.
To you too.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.